Like Dan said, it is great to be here today. I'm really thrilled to be here to be a part of your worship service this morning. This is a great day. If you look outside, we really need to be rejoicing in the Lord. And I'm just excited to be a child of the King, to be here with you. I got a chance to walk up and down the aisles meeting the people here, Dan. You're exactly right. They're wonderful people. They're awesome. You are blessed to have a congregation like you have here at Community Methodist Church. And it's just an awesome thing to be here. I have met Dan just a few weeks ago, maybe 3 weeks ago, and I'm getting to know him quite well. He is a loud talker. You are right. I know that for a fact. He's wound up. He likes to do things. He's a man of action. And I just see God using him in neat ways at the Barnes & Noble at Fairfield Mall. I hope you've been to his store. I hope you go there. I hope you spend time there. It's a lovely place, and he's doing a great job. Dan did give me one warning, though, about preaching here. He said I needed to be done by a quarter after. And I said, after meeting all these people here, I said, well, this is a great congregation. They're going to give me until 12:15 to preach. What a great congregation. To be here until 12:15. But no, we will try to follow that schedule and be finished here. The book that Dan mentioned about does nothing but brag on God. And I think as Christians, that's our role, is to brag on Him and tell others how awesome He is. It deals with people going through adversity. And that's what I want to talk about here this morning, going through adversity. I met a fellow walking in who mentioned to me that he had to bury a family member just this week. Adversity is real in our lives. And if I was to ask for a raise of hand, how many people here this very morning is going through some type of valley or adversity in their life? Just raise your hand. If you're going through an adversity or a trial, raise your hand. All right? Probably at least half of you here are doing that. If I was to ask this question, how many have went through adversity in the past? I'm sure we would have probably 100%. And if you haven't raised your hand for either one of those questions, I'll just warn you, get ready, because adversity will be coming in the future. If you haven't had it in the past or are not going through it right now. One of the things that the Lord has shown my wife and I have my family in the front here, I think a lot of you got to meet them, but it's the fact that when Christians go through adversity, many times we're going through it in a defeated manner. We're walking through adversity and it defeats us. One of the things that God has called us to do as a couple, and we have started a ministry to try to begin to do this, is to encourage Christians going through the tough times of life. And God has placed that in our heart to be this encourager of Christians going through adversity. It happens to all of us, and we need to know how to respond properly. And that's what our book was all about, just to encourage people when they go through difficult times. So my message this morning is going to be titled, God's Plan for Adversity. It's going to be a simple message that's going to share with you God's perspective on dealing with adversity. I'm going to use the 23rd Psalm as my text. And I don't know if you brought your Bibles today, but if you would not mind standing as I read God's Word, please stand and I'll read the 23rd Psalm. Most of you are aware of this psalm. It's probably the most famous of all the psalms in the Scripture. It's the Psalm of David. Let me read the 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Let me pray as we get ready to study God's Word here. Lord, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for the 23rd Psalm that gives us such insight on you and dealing with adversity and going shadow of death, like David 10,000 years ago. Lord, I just pray that behind the words that I say, we'll have the power of the Holy Spirit to touch hearts and lives here today. And we would learn your plan for adversity. We would learn your plan for going through the valleys. We thank you and we love you. We thank you that you allowed us to wake up this morning and have another day with you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You can be seated. As you can tell, twins, our song is a powerful song. But I want us to focus this morning on the fourth verse. That's the verse that we really want to hit this morning. Let me read it one more time. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why is that? For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Walking through the valleys, dealing with adversity, going through the tough times. The Scripture is full of valleys that we see if we look at the Scriptures. In Joshua, the Bible talks about a valley of calamity. Psalms 84 talks about the valley of Baca, or the valley of weeping and crying. Hosea talks about the valley of trouble. So what happens when we go through these valleys? How do we deal with them? How are we supposed to respond? What's the purpose of these valleys? That's what we're going to look at here this morning. What are the purposes and what's God's plans for these valleys? And if you have your notes or you want to write some of these down, I'm going to give you five facts about valleys that you need to remember. Five things about valleys that I want us to concentrate on this morning as we look at these in our Christian life. The first thing is, valleys are inevitable. Valleys are inevitable. John 16:33 says, in this world, you will have trouble. We just read in the 23rd Psalm, we will be walking through the valley of the shadow of death. If you look throughout Scripture, you'll see Christian after Christian, person after person, going through adversity. The Bible is very clear about this. The valleys will happen. Yes, we will have the mountaintops, but between every mountaintop is a valley, and we will go through valleys. It's really not a matter of if you will go through a valley, it's a matter of when you will go through a valley. You will have difficulty in this life. You will be disappointed. You will have discouragement. You will have times of suffering. You will have times of sorrow. You will have times of sickness. There'll be periods of frustration in your life. There'll be failure. There'll be periods of fatigue. They are going to happen. It's a natural part of life. And I don't want you to be surprised when these things happen to you. If we study the Scripture, we'll know valleys will happen. If we study people that we know, valleys will happen. So the first thing we need to remember about adversity, first thing we need to know about going through these valleys that is inevitable. It does happen and it will happen. The second point about valleys is this. Valleys are unpredictable. They're unpredictable. Let me read Jeremiah 4:20. Disaster follows disaster, Jeremiah says. In an instant, my tents are destroyed. My shelter falls in a moment. I'm here to tell you that valleys are unpredictable. You can't plan your valleys. You can't say, you know, I want nothing to go wrong this week. I want those to happen next week. No, they just happen in an instant. In the twinkling of an eye, the valleys happen. And in fact, in my life, they seem to usually happen at the worst possible time. Not the best time, but the worst possible time. How many people in here have had a flat tire? Do they happen when it's a good time, or do they happen when you're late for an appointment and you're in a hurry? Adversity always happens at the wrong time. It usually comes suddenly. It's usually no plan involved. You're just all of a sudden there and boom, there's your adversity, there's the battle. And it can be something as simple as a phone call. I'm sure most of you in here have received a phone call that has changed your whole day. I'm sure there's many in here that have got a letter, and as they've read, it's changed your whole day. I'm I'm sure many of you have been to the physician's office, and the doctor says, please sit down. I have some news to tell you. In a moment, adversity can happen. In a moment, these valleys happen. And they usually happen at the wrong time. So point number two, valleys are unpredictable. We don't know when they're going to happen. Number three, valleys are completely impartial. Matthew 5:45 says, it rains on the just and the unjust too. No one in this room is immune to problems or adversity. Just because you think you're good doesn't mean problems are not going to come your way. Or just because you think, oh, there's some bad people over there, they're going to have all the problems and none are coming my way. The Bible says in Matthew, it's going to rain on the just and the unjust. Good people have problems just like bad people. And instead of saying, why me, God? Why did this happen to me? We really ought to be saying to ourselves, why not me? Why did this not happen to me? Adversities are inevitable. And we should be asking, God, thank you for protecting me from that. How come it wasn't me that had the car wreck? How come it wasn't me that got sick? And usually our question is the opposite. Why is it me? I'm here to tell you, you probably ought to be asking, why not me? Let me ask you a question. Do you think you personally ought to be exempt from every problem in the world that everybody else goes through? We tend to act that way. Do you really think that of all the people in the universe, you're going to be the only one that never has a tragedy yet, or that never has a loss? Let me remind you of something. This is not heaven. This is not heaven. Things are not perfect here like that. There are problems, there are pains, there are difficulties here. Adversity will affect us all, good and bad alike. And so remember that adversity or the battle are very impartial. Everybody will go through. All right, point number four. Valleys are temporary. Did you hear that? The valleys are temporary. Let me read 1 Peter 1:7. You may have to suffer all kinds of trials, Peter says. This is no accident. It happens to prove your faith. God has a reason for taking you through the valleys. Anytime you have a problem or a valley in your life, you need to remember, it's just not an accident that it happened. God has a design for that. God has a purpose for that. Any little problem, any accident, any major tragedy in your life, just does not randomly happen. God has a purpose. And they happen to build your faith. God wants to build your faith. When things are great, you really don't need God, do you? Everything's awesome. Everything's fine. But when you're going through the valleys, we tend to get on our knees and begin to say to God, wow, what's going on? And you begin to pray. And you begin to look at these things, that valleys are indeed temporary. Faith is strengthened in the valley, not the mountaintops. And God wants to teach you character. He really does want to teach you character. He has a goal for your life. He has a plan for your life. God actually wants us to become like Jesus Christ. Do you know that? God actually wants us to become just like Jesus Christ. Jesus suffered, so we're going to suffer. Jesus was discouraged, so we're going to be discouraged. Jesus was lonely, so we'll be lonely. Jesus was misunderstood, so we'll be misunderstood. Jesus was criticized, we'll be criticized. God wants to build our character. God wants us to know that the important thing in life is to be like Him, to be holy, to be pure, to have faith. The Bible says in Psalms 23, I'll fear no evil, for you are with me. We need to remember that, that God is with us. He wants to build our character. He wants to build our faith. He wants to build our whole life to be more like Him. The valleys are temporary. The scripture is very clear to us that things happen here on earth, but that they're temporary. Some of us think that even if we live 90 years and we suffer the whole 90 years, that would be a terrible problem. But as a Christian, that's still considered temporary. Do you know why? Because we're going to live in heaven millions and billions of years. And so what is 70 or 80 or 90 years of suffering on earth? And we're going to be in glory as a Christian for millions and billions and an infinite number of years. We need to look at these situations as temporary, even if we have to deal with those throughout our entire life. God has a plan. God has a purpose, and that's to grow our faith. And God wants you to know that these are temporary, because in glory there's no pain, no fear, and no problem, and no adversity. And that's where we're going to live our whole life as a believer in Jesus Christ. But when you're going through the valley, let me leave you with three key things I want you to take with you. Three key items when we're going through the valley. Let's go back and read the 23rd Psalm again, verse 4. This is the keys that I want to focus on for the rest of this message. 23, verse 4. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod, your staff, they comfort me. The first thing that we need to do when we begin to go through the valleys is this. Refuse to be discouraged. We know they're going to happen. We know they're going to be there. We know they're temporary. We know they're for our good. Let me encourage you, as David said in Psalms 23rd, even though I walk through the valley, I would fear no evil. David is saying, I refuse to be discouraged. I will fear no evil. The word will there actually implies you have a choice. I choose to fear no evil. I choose to follow Christ. I choose to trust Him. I choose to understand my adversities to grow my faith. The word will is actually an act of volition. It's your choice. It's your decision. And you have to ask yourself, going through adversity, will I fear and be discouraged? Or will I be calm and trust God? You have a choice to make in the midst of adversity. What are you going to do? David says, even though I walk through the valley, I'm going to fear no evil. Let me encourage you to remember what David says here. It's your choice. How are you going to respond when you go through adversity? Excuse me. Let me read a quote from Pastor Rick Warren. He's the author of The Purpose-Driven Life. Let me read this to you because I thought it was outstanding. If you are discouraged this morning, it's because you're choosing to be discouraged. I don't have to know your problems, he says. You're choosing to be discouraged. Discouragement is always a choice. Always. You don't have to choose to be discouraged, but you're choosing to think discouraging thoughts. You're choosing to look at all the negatives. You're choosing not to look at Christ and all the positive things. You're looking at all the negatives, and that's a choice. You can choose to change, and that's what I believe God wants you to do. You need to choose not to fear. You need to choose not to be discouraged as you go through the valleys. How do you do that? How do you choose that? And the key is, like David here, he focuses on the Lord Jesus Christ. He focuses not on the situation, but he focuses on the Savior. David tells us, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of the death, I would fear no evil because you're with me. David's viewpoint is that he's looking at the Savior. He's looking at God, not all the troubles around him. He's not looking at the shadow of the valley of death as he's going through there. He's made a conscious choice. I choose to follow Christ and to look at Him and to keep my eyes on Him. It's really hard to see your problems when you've got tunnel vision and you're focusing on Christ. You can be walking along, but you can be tired of lying to disease and death. But if your eyes are on Him, you don't see those. And the Bible is telling us, as we go through adversity, to keep our eyes on Him. You'll be calm. And as it says in Psalms, you'll walk. You notice it didn't say he's running through the valley. He's not scared and freaking out going through there. He's calmly walking with the Savior through the valley of the shadow of death. So when valleys come your way, please remember, refuse to be discouraged. Focus on the Savior, not your situation. Number two, when you're going through the valley, is this. You need to remember that God is with you. God is with you. God is with you. As a Christian, he said, I will be with you. What does the 23rd Psalm say? Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Isaiah 43:2 says, when you go through deep waters and great troubles, I will be with you. When you go through rivers of difficulty, you will not drown. When you walk through the fires of oppression, you will not be burned up. God is telling you as a Christian, he's walking with you in the valley. You won't drown. You won't burn up. He will be with you every step of the way. Some of us have a feeling that God's up in heaven and he's looking down on, I hope she makes it. Don't we think that? David is saying, as a believer in him, he's in the valley with us. He's walking alongside of us. He's carrying us when we can't go any further. God is with us. He's walking with you. And if you talk to any mature believer, they'll tell you probably some of the closest times they have with the Lord Jesus Christ is when they're in the valley. His presence is overwhelming. That face-to-face encounter that they sense in the presence of these valleys is just one of these unbelievable things, because God is with you when you're going through adversity. If you follow him, he's with you. He's with you. He's with you. So don't be discouraged. Refuse to look at your situations and look at him. And remember, God is with you all along the way. I'm debating whether or not I'm going to read one of these stories that I put together, but let me go ahead and read this story. I think it's a powerful story of an example of remembering God is with you. There's a fellow named Mike Hess, and this is his story. I'd like to tell you how Jesus Christ helped me and my family walk through the valley of a major illness. On May 15, 1983, I made a decision that forever changed my life in ways that I would never imagine. I accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior and thought at that time it was really great, and I was now going to heaven for eternal fellowship with him. I had no idea how that decision would prepare me and comfort me through the valleys of my life. In 1985, my wife Connie and I were breezing along through the green pastures that God has provided us. We had a good marriage, two beautiful children, a nice home, a good income. But the company I was working for faltered, and I lost my job, and we almost lost our home. Our first major battle, we almost lost our home. We started over, and I eventually landed another good job. Things began to go well again for about 2 years, but I lost that job again. Another major valley in my life. We were very down, and we struggled financially and almost lost our home. But we still had each other and our kids. Where do we turn? What did we do? Both times we turned to the Lord. We started over again and again, and things eventually began to go well. Then in early November 1989, I noticed a lump forming under my chin, which I thought was probably just a swollen gland. The doctor did a biopsy and told us I had a form of cancer known as lymphoma, the dreaded C word. By this time, we were already turning to God every day. It was this faith in God and his will that would see us through this tough time. In our previous valleys, we were always confident that no matter what happened, we still had each other and our children. Now, I was about to face what the 23rd Psalm called the Valley of the Shadow of Death. My wife, Connie, was facing the very real possibility of having to bring up our children without their father and without her husband. In the fall 2 weeks, I got all the tests and the doctor's appointments that accompanied my battle with cancer. After numerous tests, my wife and I were very depressed about my situation. But we held on to the fact that God had promised to be with us through the valley of life. On my next CAT scan, we noticed my situation had improved. The large tumors that had been very visible a month before were almost gone. We were stunned by this, and God was clearly at work. The next step in my treatment was to receive a bone marrow transplant. Although the treatment was very difficult, I knew that Jesus was walking us through this valley, and the transplant was successful. On one of those days that God confirmed He was with me, when the pastor called, He had given me a verse, Philippians 2:26. Indeed, he was ill and almost died, but God had mercy on him. And not only on him, but also on me to spare me upon my sorrow. I was totally overcome with this encouraging word of God's healing presence. I don't think I ever felt closer to God than in that moment when, in the valley, God gave me hope and healing to make it through the valley. As I look back and consider why God allowed me to be healed when so many others had died from cancer, I come to realize two things. First, His healing was all because of His mercy and grace. I certainly wasn't worthy of the healing. This had been humbling for me. The other thing I realized is this. The reason I survived is because God isn't finished. God isn't finished with His plan for my life. He has a ministry for me to do. In 2 Corinthians, it says that one reason God allows us to go through trials, tribulations, and valleys is so that we would be able to comfort and help others. For this reason, I'm involved in a cancer support group at our church. Because so many families find themselves in the valley of cancer, this group was started to provide help and care for those who are hurting. Finally, if you're facing major illness, let me encourage you with this verse in Revelation 2:10. Do not be afraid of what you are about to suffer. I tell you, the devil will put some of you in prison to test you, and you will suffer. But be faithful, even to the point of death, and I will give you a crown of life. Yes, God is with you when you go through trials. When you go through the valley, He will be as close as He's ever been to you. Remember that when you're going through your own difficulties. God is with you. God is with you. God is with you. Then number three, what do you do when you go through trials? Rely on God's protection and God's guidance. Psalms 23:4 says, "Your rod and staff comfort me." Now, I doubt there's any shepherds in here today. Anybody a shepherd in here this morning? We probably really don't know much about shepherding or sheep or whatever. But I had to look this up, and it says the rod was used by a shepherd for protection of the sheep. It was kind of like the shepherds today kind of have pistols to kind of shoot animals and stuff. They took this rod and would throw and protect the sheep. David is saying here, and God is saying here, I'm going to fear no evil. Why? Your rod comforts me. Your rod protects me. God is saying, I'll protect you. I'm your protector. I'm the one watching over you. Your rod comforts me and protects me. Yes, God's in the valley with you, fighting off the spiritual forces. He's using His protection to do that. The staff was used to guide and comfort the sheep. The staff is kind of a long stick with a curve at the end. The shepherd would use that to kind of grab some sheep and pull them close to himself. He would also use the staff to lift the sheep up out of the pit. When they fell in the pit, he would take that stick with a curve in the neck and grab them and pull them out. What beautiful imagery as we look at this and think about how does God help us? He takes that staff and grabs us and pulls us to Him. Come closer to me, son. Come closer to me, daughter. Come closer to me. What do we do when we fall down in the pit? The Lord Jesus is there with the staff. Come out of there. I'll pull you out. I'll take care of you. I'll take care of you. I'll take care of you. Look to me. The shepherd uses the staff to guide his sheep also. The sheep are kind of stupid animals, they tell me. They don't know where to go. And the shepherd will take that staff and guide the sheep. Go left, go right, stop, come over here. God is going to do the same for us. He is our shepherd. He will guide you and protect you. And sometimes he'll keep you from falling into the pit. You better stop right there, sir. There's a hole there. Sometimes we're stupid to go right on through and fall right in the pit. But we have a shepherd, a good shepherd, that has the rod and the staff to protect us, to guide us, to keep him close to himself. God is telling us, trust him, love him, follow him. He is the one to protect us and guide us. So what do you do when adversity comes? Refuse to be discouraged. Remember God is with me. And rely on God's protection. As I close, let me read Psalm 34, verse 19. The good man does not escape all troubles. And I think we all agree with that now. I've shown you in Scripture through life. The good man does not escape all troubles. He has them too. But the Lord helps him in each and every one. The Lord helps him in each and every one. So I hope you realize this morning, it's obvious. Every Christian will go through the valleys just like everyone else. Christians have disappointments. Christians get sick. Christians have tragedies. Christians lose loved ones. Christians have financial problems. Christians have family problems. But there is a difference when you're a Christian. And it's a big difference. While believers and non-believers go through the same valleys, for the Christian, the shepherd is with them. For the Christian, the shepherd is there to guide and to comfort. Christians are not alone. Christians are not alone like the unbeliever. We follow Christ. We look to him for comfort. We look to him for guidance. We look to him for peace. We look to him for victory. There's a famous saying out, and it goes like this. If you look at the world, you'll be distressed. If you look within, you'll be depressed. If you look at Christ, you'll be at rest. And I want you to look at Christ today. It's your choice. I can't force you to look at Christ today. I can't force you to focus on him going through the valley. I can't force you to look to him as your comfort and your helper. It all depends on you and who you're going to follow and who you're going to watch and who you're going to model your life after. And I don't know, we've got a lot of people in here today. I'm assuming that some of you are probably feeling alone this morning. You don't have Christ in your life. Let me encourage you today to turn to Jesus Christ and follow him. As the great hymn says, turn your eyes upon Jesus. And if I was a singer, I would sing. I'm definitely not a singer. You can ask my family down here. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full into his wonderful face. And the things of this earth will go strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. As I close, let me ask a question. Have you turned away from yourself and are looking at Christ? You need to ask yourself that today. Who am I following? Am I following my own flesh and desires, or am I following Christ? Have you trusted him to save you and to take you to heaven? And we all know in heaven there's no pain, there's no worries, there's no valleys, there's no adversities. But Jesus came, Jesus died, and Jesus rose again. And we need to ask him to be our Lord and Savior. We need to look at him, to focus on him, and to follow him all the way. If you've never done that, I'm going to ask you this morning to turn to Jesus today. That's my closing point. Turn to Christ today. Turn to him today. Look at him today. Follow him today. Make him your Lord today. Receive forgiveness today. Receive comfort today. Receive guidance today. Receive direction today. Receive protection. Receive your whole new life. It can be started right here today. And that's my prayer as I close, that you look to him and trust him today. Let me close with a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this word and the Psalms that shows us how to follow you in times of adversity. And Lord, we just thank you that you are there with us You walk with us. You protect us. You guide us. You grow our faith. You're more concerned about us being more like you than our own comfort in our lives. Thank you for showing us that today. Lord, we just pray for this body here today. If there's anyone here that is not following Christ, if there's anyone here that is not trusting Him, if there's anyone here that's not watching Him and following Him all the way through the valley, they make that decision today. I love you. I thank you for this day. I'm going to be glad and rejoice because this is your day. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much for having me here as your speaker. If anyone feels a need to speak to me afterwards about more about Christ or a relationship with Him, I'll be in the back and be glad to speak with you. Thank you very much.